welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. Happy hump day to one and all. And I have a guest today, and I was just thinking of something right before I came on to the show. Last week, I interviewed a band called Message to Venus. Today, my guest is pop rock singer, songwriter, Jupiter in Velvet. Do you think the universe is trying to give me some kind of message? Jupiter, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here.
So what do you think about that? Last week, Message to Venus. Today, Jupiter in Velvet. What's going on?
You have the universe on your mind.
I think so. I have no idea why. I thought maybe they're trying to give me a message.
Yeah, I've seen, like on different websites like Reverb Nation and other places, I've seen more and more bands using those types of names, you know, that are invoking ideas or pictures of the stars and the universe and things like that. So I like it, you know.
I do too. It's different, and you know, it's getting your music way out there.
Yes, exactly, way out there. That's what you want to do. You want to expand your audience. So
right. Well, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Well, let's start out. I always do a little bit of digging into the background of my guest, going a little bit back in the time. And I'd like to have them tell me, all of us actually, when you became interested in being in the music business or being in music.
I was always interested in music from the time, I was very young. But in my family was like a family of music lovers. You would hear, my dad played jazz, my older sister played like heavier rock and blues, and my next older sister played more pop rock, and the other one played, you know, some other style. So as you walk around the house, you hear all these different genres and time periods of music, which became, you know, which I loved. I loved all of it. Kind of all became jumbled up in my head as I was growing up. I'd be riding my bike up the hill to go to a friend's or the Dairy Queen or whatever, and I'd be making up songs in my head, of course, which I never could remember later, but it's just
right.
Always a part of me. I started playing drums in fourth grade, and I joined my first band in fifth. So I played in bands since I was very young.
Wow.
That's
amazing. That's really young to be in a band.
Was it your own
band?
Well, it was someone else's band, and I never really played even a drum set because I was like taking lessons and in like school band, and he didn't like his drummer. He was this guy who was a friend, he was a little bit older than me, and he taught me some stuff on the drums, and I picked it up like very quickly because I seemed to have natural rhythm. And before I knew it, we were like opening up for, you know, some other like high school bands and things. It was just really strange to me, you know. It was kind of natural too, and I enjoyed it a lot. You know, so I did that for a lot of years, and then I think in high school I fell out of music for a while, and then later in college I got back into it, picked up the guitar and taught myself how to sing, and just started writing the songs like right off the bat. That seemed to be the most natural thing for me to do, and went through all kinds of bands and ended up at Jupiter in Velvet. So,
well, I have to say, I believe you were born to be in music. I don't think you had a choice.
No, I really don't have a choice.
You started out so young, and everything came naturally to you, so.
Yeah, well, it still takes a lot of work, but music is definitely my passion and the thing that's the most natural to me. It's like, you know, if I veered away, I've always come back to it, and it's music like defined my day. I'd be listening to different types of music at different points of the day, like all day long, to motivate me and lift my mood and set me up for whatever I was going to do. So it is definitely in my heart and my soul.
Definitely. And your family had a big influence on you too, with all the different music that they played all the time, which, you know, kind of combined which makes your music, because you don't have a certain genre of music. I mean, you just play music, and it can cross all of those different genres, which is a good thing.
Yeah, people have a really hard time putting a finger on my music, which, you know, to me, I don't think like, oh, I'm writing a pop song or I'm writing a rock song.
Right.
You know, I don't think of any of that. But then later on when I get reviews, I get these really interesting analogies of what my music sounds like or what this song or how people define me. And it's kind of fascinating because I don't see it like that, and it's interesting to see how other people see it. But, yeah, I get that a lot where people go, you know, they basically say they describe my music as just being really unique, you know. And if they hear one song, they'll say it's pop, and if they hear another song, they'll say, oh, he's rock, and it just goes on and on.
Right.
Yeah, that's really how I think music. I think we're always trying to define things in a way that we can, you know, understand them. People put labels on things because it's easier to understand. But, you know, music, I don't think there's really any limit on music on what we do unless we limit ourselves. So, but
that's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true. And music was, you know, defined by genres from many years ago. And people grew up with that, and they're just used to doing it. But I think nowadays you see more and more of this, where it's not committed to one genre. It's just music, and you're going to like it no matter what it is or what you think it is.
Yeah, you know, even at festivals, they mix together just really extremes in terms of bands and styles and genres, which they used to not do that kind of thing. Because I mean, like me, and I think most other people, like their record collections or the music they listen to, is really broad. You know, they may go from hip hop to rock and maybe a little country, and then they, you know, it's pop. And I don't think people think like that. They just like, if they like a song, they like a song. They're not liking it because of a genre.
Exactly. I know that happens more so as you get older, because a lot of, you know, kids, even myself when I was younger, I mainly listened to hard rock music. And as I got older, I learned to appreciate all the different types of music that was out there. I mean, I'll listen to anything from pop to classical. So, and even in some in different languages, like I like a lot of Italian music. I like a lot of Spanish music. So, you know, it's, as you said, if you like the song, that's it. And that's, you know, how you get to listen to different types.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, like, for instance, one of my sisters who was a huge Beatles fan, so if you listen to the Beatles, I mean, at that time, there really wasn't any genres. There was just simply rock or pop or however you wanted to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just,
mm-hmm.
if you listen to all their music, they went from, like, really heavy stuff to, I mean, most of it was pop, rock, but they veered off into different types of acoustic and ethnic acoustic, and some stuff was real heavy. They just experimented. They just went in whatever direction, and no one thought, you know, this or that about it. That's just how music was and all that. So, yeah, no, I think it's more natural that way. Music is just music.
Definitely. As long as I like the lyrics or music so I can dance to it or whatever mood I'm in, you know, that'll base a lot of what you listen to at that moment, you know, in time. So.
Yeah.
I love it no matter what it is, no matter what genre or not genre it is. As long as I have music in my life, I'm happy. And I think that's how most people feel about it. Now, when you write your songs, do you usually use your guitar or does the lyrics come first? How do you work with that?
My songs come all different ways. Probably more of them come from like me just starting to play something on the guitar that feels like something or sounds like something to me. It's like I'm in the mood and whatever I'm playing, I like, oh, I like this. And then I start listening in my head for a melody to go with it. And I start trying different melodies and then it just depends. But it usually just goes from there, but sometimes it'll start from a lyric line. Sometimes it'll start just from a guitar riff. Sometimes it'll start from a bass line. And I do it all different ways, and sometimes I purposely try to do it a different way so I can do something different. It's really easy to write a song. I have, like, music in my head all the time and songs, ideas popping out. But a lot, you know, you have a song idea, and it's a real good song, but it's not different. It's not that, it's not emotionally compelling enough the way it feels, mm-hmm. or maybe what I start writing. So I just, you know, I start it, but I don't finish it. You know, it has to be, the things that I finish are the things that have a lot more meaning, or they're really catchy, like, or they're really, they do something for me. Like, I know I'm going to want to play this song over and over, mm-hmm. and, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, the process is, there's no exact process, you know, like for instance, I keep a lot of lyric books, and where I just write down, I think of a phrase or a word that I like, and I just write it down, you know, and I just, they're all random, and, or I see somebody says something that's really unusual, and I can remember it later, I'll write it down. So I have these books, and if I have a song idea, like, let's have a chord progression, I'm starting to get a melody that I like, so I think, okay. And then what I'll do is I'll page through my books, and then if something just pops out at me, I don't try to think what the song is about as much as,
right.
I just try to match up a phrase with it, and then I go from there. You know, occasionally a song, something will be super impacting in my life, and I know as soon as I start playing something what that song is about, and that song usually comes really fast, you know, it kind of explodes out of me. Whereas other songs, sometimes I'll have the basic song, but in terms of, like, getting the bridge and just really refining the organization and arrangement, it'll take a while. I'm particular about the lyrics, trying to get as much out of as few lines as possible.
Right. Now, it sounds like you have a lot of songs that you've kept. Do you remember the first song you wrote?
No, I don't. I'm trying to think.
No?
No, I can't remember the first song. There's been so many. Been a lot. I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least you'll never run out, because I know you're going to continue writing, so you can always go back on.
Yeah, that's probably the part I like the most. I get up every day, the first thing I do is I sit down with my guitar and I write, or, you know, sometimes I don't write anything, but that's what I do first thing in the day. That's kind of when my mind isn't quite rational and conscious. It's like I'm still kind of in the dreamy state, and music comes mm-hmm. to me just at that point, because I'm not overthinking it.
Well,
but,
did you ever dream about a song and wake up and write it?
Yes, I have. I've woken up multiple times with songs, and sometimes a lot of times I don't get up and write them down unless I think it's just too good to pass up, you know, and I probably should get up more of it, but there's been ones I've gotten up and I've had, like, the whole song was there, the chords, and I had to hear the chords, and then I got to figure out what I'm hearing, and then I'd have the riff, and I'd have pretty much the basis of the words, and then I'd write it down and make a little recording on my phone or something, and or back in the old days, my boombox, and go back to bed and get up in the morning and finish it. But yeah, it definitely comes all different ways. It's there too. It's a really strange thing. People used to say, I used to read, you know, writers and musicians talking about the idea that it's all kind of out there and you're tuning into it. And I thought, oh, that's not right. I think it just comes from inside you. But as I've gotten older and written more, I've become much humbler in realizing that it is kind of out there and you're tuning into it. You're tuning into all, depending on, you know, your mindset and your emotions and all this, you're tuning into something much bigger than you and pulling it in and stuff. That's how it feels now to me.
It's just really natural for you, and it's a good thing that if something does catch you, you know, that you dreamt about, that you do write it down or put it on your iPhone or something right away, because how many times have I woken up from a dream and thought, boy, that was really good, but then later on when I want to tell somebody about it, I completely forget it. I just remember
exactly.
It was good. So it's a good thing we have all these electronics these days.
Oh, yeah, it's great with, just being able to make a little, I'd be driving in the car and all of a sudden I'm humming something and I go, what am I humming? Is it someone else's song? And I go, no. And I'm like, oh, I like this. So I'll quick, you know, grab my phone and make a little recording and come back to it later to see if I still like it. Yeah. It's really helpful.
That's always a good thing. Now, I wanted to mention in 2012 you released your debut album, Screaming the Love Behind the Scars, which is a very interesting title to the album. But you got a lot of strong reviews from both the music industry and fans. What was it like for you to be so well-received on your first album?
Oh, it was just thrilling because, you know, you put stuff out there. You know, everyone likes their own music, but you just don't know how people are going to, you know, receive it and everything. And, I was elated that I felt like this direction for Jupiter and Velvet, and where I was basically kind of, I'd kind of like been in more like let's say the previous band I'd been in had been more restricted. Like it was just more like rock and some harder rock. And the people in the band did not like any pop elements, and there's certain things they didn't want to do. So it was restricting to me. And this was just when I started Jupiter and Velvet, it gave me the opportunity to do everything I like and just do what's natural. And people seem to really like it. I've gotten much more positive response than I expected. So it's been good.
I would bet. Oh, listen to me. I would bet it was overwhelming the first time that you were seeing all of the responses to it, but in a good way. And you knew you were on the right path.
That's exactly it. That's well said. Yep, I was on the right path, and I just needed to stay true to myself and just keep working harder to get better at my craft. And, of course, you know, promote more. So.
Definitely. And promoting, thank God again for social media, because you get to have your music heard by people from around the world, whereas before social media, you pretty much had to stick with, you know, wherever you were living at the time and gigging. Because you don't have, as an indie, a lot of money to go out there and promote it and send it to the labels and go on tours and things like that. So I think social media has played a big, big scene, you know, for people like you that are indie pop artists or rock artists or whatever artist you are.
Yeah, social media has leveled the playing field. Now, of course, so you can get somewhere much faster, but at the same time, it's made it more available, so there's way more bands, so there's more competition, so it's harder.
That's true.
It's easy to get heard, but then it's also harder to get heard because there's just so much stuff out there that someone hears you and they go, that's good, but you're just one of so many, and then they forget. And so you have to keep thinking outside the box to find a way to make an impression, to get people to really stop and pay attention so the music can affect them inside, because that's when they're going to want to make it their own. But it's great. Without social media, I mean, it would be so difficult, because the gigging thing, you know, at the local and building out, which I've done, it's exhausting. It's so hard. And you get so far, but there's so many frustrations. It's a tough life.
Oh, I know. I used to go out with a guy in a band, and I saw how they struggled, you know, and they would go different places, different states here in the U.S., and they would, you know, drive everywhere they went, and if the van broke down, God forbid, you know, it was just, it's very, very, very hard, and living on Cheetos and Pop, or, you know what I mean? There's no money to be made even if you do go do that gig, because then you got to pay the musicians, you got to pay for the gas, you got to pay for whatever. And by the time you're done, you're actually still owing yourself money.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, if you want to do a good thing, you want to have your own sound man, you know, light man. It's just, there's all this stuff involved. But yeah, thank goodness for Twitter, you know.
Yep. Now, what a lot of people probably don't realize that are listening right now is that Jupiter and Velvet is you. It's not actually a band. Now, how did that happen? How did you go by the name Jupiter and Velvet?
It was a phrase, and in my book, and I wrote a song called Jupiter and Velvet, and that was the title track of the first song on the first album. And But that I wrote, that was the last song I wrote for my last band. And people really liked this song. Like, we played, I didn't play it out that many times, but everyone came up after the shows and commented on that song. And I sent out some demos, and radio people really liked the song. You know, and I just liked the name. I've also had an obsession with space. And I like combining, like, I'll have lists of different words I like, and I'll combine weird combinations. Like, I like velvet. I like the material. Mm-hmm. I like the word. So I combined the two words, and then it was sitting there. And then this when I had this chord progression and riff for the song and the melody, I was looking through my book, and I saw that, and I go, oh, that's it. And then from there, the song just evolved. And when that last band broke up, I just looked at that song, and I thought, you know, that's where I ended. That's a good place to begin. That's who I'll be. That'll be the band. That'll be me. And it's worked out well. People like the name. You know, I like the name.
It sticks in your mind.
Yeah, I like words, you know, they're almost juicy to me sometimes, you know, and I just like certain words put together. I savor words, and I like the phrase a lot. And it has, you know, it has other types of meaning to me. And, but yeah, no, it's people remember it and they like it. People comment, tell me they like the name.
Definitely. Like I said, it sticks in your mind. It's a band, a name, or, you know, as a solo artist name, it gives you interest to find out who is behind that. What's the music about? You know, that's what first catches you is the name. So you did good there.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Now, when you go to do a gig, is it you with your guitar, or do you have a band, or a little bit of both? You know, like pickup guys that are musician friends
Originally, I mean, the whole project started, you know, when my last band broke up, I just decided I needed to remake myself and just have a new setting. So I went to the UK, to London, and just took up shop there and started writing and started meeting people, and I really liked the music scene over there. It just seemed to be fit me well. And I started the Jupiter, and I had a band going, and we did gigging, and we started playing, and I was writing this album. And then the album came out, and shortly after that album came out, I started having some health issues. So I had to come back to the U.S. to deal with it. So I haven't, since then, I haven't played out, but I'm healthy again now, and I'll be going back in September to shoot a video, and I'll be working on putting together a band again, because I really want to get out and play. I've been writing and recording, and I just love playing live. So.
Yeah, there's nothing like a live show, and I'm so very happy that your health is back, and you'll be able to do that, because I mean, without your health, you can't do anything. So that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, I have to ask you, because I did not realize in the beginning when I was listening to your music and see you on Twitter and playing your music on Music Mondays and such, I thought that you were born in the UK. I thought you were born in England. And here I come to find out, reading more, that you're actually American, but you moved to the UK. And so that was a surprise to me, because I thought when I was going to speak with you here, I was going to hear this British accent.
Oh, this English
accent,
yeah.
So can you imitate that?
No, not that well. So I won't insult the British with a bad performance of their likable accent. And of course, they would take notice with us, because they always say, you know, what accent are you talking about? Yours? You know, that's what they would say to me when I was over there, and I'd be talking, is how much I like the accent. They go, what accent? We have no accent.
Yeah.
You have an accent.
Right.
Right, you know, so.
That even happens within the United States. I'll be
speaking
to somebody,
you go down south.
You know. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And they're
thing.
Like, I like your accent. I'm like, I don't have an accent. To me, Chicago doesn't have an accent. But,
yeah,
you know,
no,
as
no,
I
yeah.
listen, as I listen to people, it's like, yeah, maybe we do. You know, but I have to hear it from somebody else talking that's from Chicago. And then I'll say, oh, yeah, I guess we do. We kind of talk through our nose or something. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Yes, something like that. That doesn't sound like it to me, but those East Coast people, no, they have an accent, so.
Definitely, yeah. definitely.
Yeah.
Especially deep down in New York and that, and quite a few other places on the East Coast. So, anyway, with that said, I was wondering, how do you feel that the U.S. versus the U.K. music differs?
Well, there's a lot of similarities. I think just with the UK, there's just a little bit, there's more, in terms of like what is played on the radio and bands, there's just a bit more innovation over there. There's a little bit more, I think as a whole, they're a little ahead of the grade. They hear something in the US and then they take it farther. And then they branch off into new things quicker. Our industry is more, it's so big, you know. It's like an ocean liner. It takes a long time to turn. And they're more like a mid-sized cruiser. So they can turn quicker to the trends of music and mm-hmm. adjust faster. And that's one of the things I like about the music scene. There's a lot. And Rock is having a hard time in the U.S. It's still alive and well, but in terms of radio,
right.
it doesn't get. Yeah, I mean, and the hip hop and all those people are so smart. They're great business people. Figured it out, and they basically just, you know, were better at the whole business end, because if you get control of the radio, you get control of an awful lot of stuff. So they
exactly.
I think too, there's a lot of cannibalism in music here, where people, it doesn't branch out as fast. There's not as much, there's a lot of good stuff though. I mean, every time I listen to a music show like yours or like all the other ones I'm on, I hear so many great new bands and songs, and I go, wow, this is so good. You wonder why it's not bigger, but then I know why, because it's so difficult. You're competing not just with all so many artists, but you're competing with people who have more power based on
exactly.
you know what they
mm-hmm.
on their connections and networks and their money. So it's much harder to break through.
That's so true. People wonder these days, you know, a lot of indies, especially the ones that are just starting out and are still somewhat naive to what goes on in the music business, they can't figure out why they think their song is so great. They have a lot of, you know, fans, a lot of people that purchase their music on iTunes or Spotify or somewhere, and they can't figure out why they can't get their music on the radio. It's not that easy. If you don't have the money or
yeah.
the power or the connection, forget about it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's very, very limited spots, particularly on terrestrial radio. I mean, internet
mm-hmm.
is the savior for the indie band, because anyone can start an internet radio station. There's so many,
right?
And so many, and it's most of what I found. It's like the stations are created by music lovers who they're not getting rich. You know, a lot of them aren't probably making any money, but they love music and they love promoting music and they've created an opening for all the indie bands and independent artists like myself.
Yeah, I had originally started Take Two Radio to do interviews with everybody in the entertainment business, whether you're an actor, an author, a director, a musician, anything in the entertainment. And I was getting so many requests from indie bands to play their music or do an interview that I branched off and did this show, because my first love is music. And if I can help in any way at all get somebody heard that I think should be heard and other people do, then that's the least I could do for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And it's because of people like you that the you know, I would say the underground music scene is really thriving. There's there's just a lot. All you have to do is go on the internet and start exploring it, and there's just so many good new bands, you know, and doing lots of different things. At some point, you know, everything stays the same, as I say, until it changes. And it's like, at some point there'll be a tipping point where people get, it's kind of like what happened in the late 70s where people just got kind of fed up with the mainstream radio and the punk and the new wave and all that stuff
right.
that was gradually pushing up. It was new, it was fresh, it was real, it was like edgy, it was getting back a little simpler in terms of the overall sound, but original. And finally, you know, one band broke through, then another, and then it just exploded and buried a lot of the traditional mainstream artists. You know, they had to adjust and adapt to what was happening. And that's what will happen again. You know, it always does. It always, things vacillate between, you know, one extreme to the other.
That's so true.
You know,
anything that is old becomes new and vice versa.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you see that in fashion all the time, you know. You see, whatever it is, whether it's tie-dye or moccasins or whatever, like
right,
fashion.
Right.
And you see that and you think, like, okay, that's like the, I don't know, second or third time my oldest sister wore that back in,
yeah.
you know, way back when and all that. That's, yeah.
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 So never throw out your clothes or your shoes because eventually it's going to be back.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's exactly right. Yep.
It'll be called vintage instead, you know, so that'll be a good thing because you'll fit right in and you didn't even have to spend any more money.
Right.
So let's get to your second album. It was called Shut Off Your Mind, and the title track received over 300,000 downloads as well as topping the UK Reverb Nation charts. That is unbelievable. I mean, my gosh, people, you know they love your music to have you top the charts like that because that's huge.
Oh, yeah. It was. People really liked the song, and I promoted, just like a madman. But I was lucky. I mean, if you promote it like crazy and people don't like it, it doesn't matter. But
exactly.
But I got just nothing but really, really strong positive feedback on the song. It's just a really powerful, catchy song. And everyone who hears it likes it, which is really great. You know, you just don't know when you do a song. You think, oh, this is really good, and people go, But that one really seemed to catch a lot of people in a good way. Yeah, that song really helped jump me up in terms of, you know, the amount of fans I have and the amount of people, you know, listening to my music, and definitely in the amount of radio stations carrying my music and playing it around the world. I made a big jump with that album, and particularly with that song. It was just a kind of a game changer for me. So.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, you get people then all over the world that are listening to it, and it's so many more fans that way. Now, how do you choose which songs make it to an album?
Well, some songs you know. I'm writing songs all the time, and I keep a list of the songs so I don't forget about one. And, you know, and then I'm rehearsing songs too. Like, so I write in the morning or afternoon whenever I get up because I stay up really late at night. And then later in the day, I rehearse, you know, and I rehearse, you know, and I kind of play whatever I feel like. I'll play some covers. I'll play this song, that. But I have certain new songs, particularly when I'm getting, like I'm working towards an album that I practice every day because I'm getting like a real feel for the song, you know, I'm getting it down and developing my voice for it and then getting to see how much I really like this song. And also, as I play it more, it gets into, you know, my veins and my brain and everything, and I start to hear the arrangement in my head, and I can start to tell, oh, this is going to be really good because I have this riff, you know, I have all these hooks. I like this song. I really like it. And so that'll go on the list. And then I'll have other songs on the list that maybe I'm not sure. And I, So I'm going through this whole thing, and then I always have certain songs maybe I wrote 2 years ago or 3 years ago that I'm just waiting, and I'm going to pull that song. On this, the first single off this new album, She's So Sugar, was written 2 or 3 years ago. It was a little while ago, and I've had that, and I knew it was a good song and very hooky. So it's just waiting for when I thought it would be a good one to do. And so I had that on the list, and I never liked how I sang it, so I just had to practice it long enough till I liked my vocal, and then I was like, and then I had an arrangement of what I was going to do with the song, and then I knew it was going to work. Well, I tell you that, you still don't know what's going to work till you start recording it, because sometimes I start recording songs, and I go, oh, what was I thinking? This is awful.
Yeah.
You know, and then you work and work and work on it, and sometimes all of a sudden as you're working on the recording and you're fixing things and rearranging in different parts, and then all of a sudden it clicks, and you go, oh, it works. And other times you go, well, it's good, but it's not quite what I thought. So then you kind of put that one on the back burner and all that. So, yeah, I keep lists of songs. I like everything, and then I have a list of the songs I for sure want to record, and that list changes. It keeps changing because one of the songs on the new album called Simplify the Meaning, I wrote it, like, very close to the end of the album, but it so much captured my feelings. And I thought it was just a really unique song. I liked it. I thought it had some really good elements to it that I just decided to record it, and it turned out good, and so I put it on the album. You know, that'll happen with an album where I'll do something like right at the end that's just so much where I'm at that I want it on the album, and it works. I like it. But yeah, it's tough. I go, there's a bunch of songs I was for sure going to record for the new album, and I ended up not because they weren't good, but I just didn't think they fit, you know. And I'm trying to, like, with the album, I think you probably agree with this, like you have songs that are going to catch people on the first listen, you know. They have just that impact, and that they're that much out front. But then you have other songs that are going to catch people on a couple more, like 3, 4, 5 listens, and they all of a sudden you get the song and you go, oh, wow, I get this now, you know. And so it's like you're giving people satisfaction, you're kind of stretching it out. So as they go along, all of a sudden they start to appreciate and enjoy more parts of the album because there's different textures and flavors and colors and emotions and styles that they weren't necessarily expecting or they're used to. And so that's what I try to do on the album as well. Like this album, the new one, I'd say the first 8 songs are like pretty much right there. And then the last 5 go off in all these different directions. So, you know, so like when you think all of a sudden it just turns, the album turns, and I do it on purpose. So it's like, then all of a sudden you don't know where this album is going anymore, and it finishes on a good note. But I liked it in that regard. It's interesting, and there's more things to discover as you listen to the album longer.
Well, that's great because, you know, you don't want to stick with just one thing sometimes, you know, over and over and over. So you're giving a surprise to the listener, and then they become a fan of everything you do, not just one type of song.
Yeah, that's very true. And because I dabble in so many styles, it never gets boring, I should say, you know, as you're listening to one of my albums. So.
And for our listeners, the next album is called Glitter on the Sun, which releases next month. Now, I saw 2 different dates. What date is it on that you're going to release that?
It got pushed back. We're pushing it back to the 23rd because two reasons. One is that the actual production of the CD got held up because of some problems with the artwork and stuff. And then also I'm going to UK in September, early September, to shoot a video. And that the video for that song was to coordinate with the release of the CD. And so the release of the CD was going to be early September, but the video won't get done until at least the middle of September. So I wanted to coordinate those two. So I bumped up the second single, which was going to be the third single, called Bring Me Back to Life, which is the song I gave you. So that's coming out in a couple weeks.
Yes, I want to say, so very honored that you offered that to me, that I get to play it. Nobody's heard it, and it's not been released. That's so exciting.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I make the interview a little bit more unique. So, so anyways, that's why it got pushed back and everything. But lots of stuff still coming out. So there'll be a lot of singles released on this CD.
Now, do you produce your own albums, or do you work with a professional producer?
No, I've done everything myself.
Wow.
And
you're good. You are good.
Yeah, and I'm getting pretty good. You know, it's kind of natural for me. I mean, when I recorded with my other bands in studios, I was always the one who was there for everything, and I was there involved in the mixing. And I would, like, we would do demos, in our recording space, and I would record and mix the demos, you know, on little machines. And then in the studio, you know, I wrote the songs and I arranged the songs, and I was there with the person producing or mixing and working with him on the final outcome. So I learned a lot from that, and I think I have a pretty good ear for mixing, but I've been learning a lot about just getting this overall polished, finished sound, and I'm getting better, you know. People mm-hmm. don't complain, at least, you know, so it's coming. And the other reason, yeah, it's like, I mean, there's some people I'd really like to work with. It's just that I also am such a perfectionist. I mean, I'll redo, like, I might mix and mix and mix and mix, and I just couldn't afford to go into a studio. It's just because, you know, you listen to something, you say, oh, it's good, it's done. And then 2 weeks later, you listen to it, and you go, oh, wow, what was I thinking? This is too loud, and this doesn't, you know. And then you go back, and I'm doing this. I mean, I think on Jupiter and Velvet, because I was having problems with the bass, and there's just things. I must have mixed it 35 times. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I was losing my mind. You know, I was thinking, I have to stop. But I kept listening to it going, it's not right. And I couldn't, I mean, to go back and do that in the studio, I'd be in debtor's prison. So, I mean, thank God for Pro Tools and those things. I appreciate the compliment. You know, yeah, it sounds good. You know, and someday I'll get in there with, you know, there's some producers I really would like to work with, and we'll see how it happens, you know.
Yeah. But with you doing everything on your own for so long, that might be kind of hard to transition to over. But you'll find out once you get in there.
Yeah, I think I'm someone who's very workable. I'm very, and I have very strong opinions. But I'm open-minded to things, too. You know, I really listen to people. I do a demos, and I'll play it for some people, and someone will make a suggestion. I've made changes based on people's suggestion, like, you know, oh, you should just repeat that line at the end of this chorus. And I go, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to change this. This is done. You know, you're thinking to yourself, why are they doing this to me? But then as I listen to it, I go, wow, that's a really good idea. So, and then I go back and make the change and stuff. So, because I like how music sounds to people who aren't musicians, and that's the people I ask who just like music and get their opinion on stuff. And sometimes you just get really great suggestions. You know, oh, it's really good, but it just needs this, or this isn't loud enough, or whatever. And they're hearing it from just a non-musician point of view, because musicians, sometimes you're not hearing the whole thing sometimes. So I do that a lot, and it's really helpful.
Yeah, well, just, you know, so you're aware, because I've told other people this that are perfectionists that are in bands, and they want to do things over and over because they think something is just not right and they have to fix it. Us as fans listening to the music, we don't hear those things that you hear.
Yes, I know. It's like when I first played out, you know, in my first band where I was playing guitar, and I made like a couple of mistakes. And to me, it was kind of like someone just put a huge spotlight on me with a big neon sign saying, mistake. And I said something to my sister who was at the show. I said, she said, sounded good, so great. I said, yeah, but I made some mistakes. She goes, where? I'll go with this song and this thing. She goes, I didn't hear anything. It sounded really good. I go, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you just kind of notice that the little mistakes go by so quickly that people don't pay attention. So, I mean, that was helpful. I know, but on recording, the thing about recording, so it's kind of there forever. So it's like, And, you know, you want to be able to listen to it and just enjoy it. Like the music that, you know, that I like of other people's, it just sounds so good. For all I know, there's a mistake in there and I'm just not hearing it.
Right.
Or there's something in there that they didn't like, you know, that could be. I know I heard Joe Perry talking about the guitar work on, Dream On, and he hated the guitar work. And I thought to myself, I like the guitar work. It's really, it's perfect. It sounds so great. And he was like, oh, I hate it. I wish I could have redone it. It's just that, so it's probably something like that.
Right. Exactly. As we hear the music, and especially when you're live in concert or on a gig or something like that, we're so into the music and so into the moment, there is no way we're going to notice if you make a huge mistake unless you stop singing.
Yeah.
And stand there and go, oops, I forgot the words. But people have done that. Artists have done that. And we just laugh along with them, you know, and then they start again and everything is all good.
Yeah, no, this is, when you're playing live, the show must go on. That's the motto. You just keep going.
Now, if you could give advice to 16-year-old Jupiter from Jupiter Now, what would you tell him?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, my first instinct would be to tell him, you know, learn, you know, just start learning guitar and doing this and doing that. But I think, like, one of the things that makes me who I am is all the different things I went through and all the failures I had that led me to this point. So other than, like, maybe, you know, really doing more, I don't know, there's certain things, this is little things, I guess, but, you know, your life is kind of the way it is because it's the way it is, and it's kind of there for a purpose, I guess. You are who you are because of everything you went through, so I think this is success.
Yeah.
I think this Jupiter in Velvet is successful because of all the hardships and the failures and the, you know, the limited success I had before helped make me the artist that I am now and everything. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see where this ends up, and then I'll think again if I want to give young Jupiter more advice. So.
That's good. I like that answer. So since you were so kind as to give me, bring me back to life to play today, before I let you go, would you tell us a little bit more about that song?
That song happened really fast. You know, it's just every once in a while, it's like, I'm a person, I have a lot of emotion. I'm a very emotional person. Like I'm just bubbling over inside and, I'm a Cancer, you know, we're very expressive, emotional people. And that song, it's been a very challenging year to understate the last year. And it's more of a song with more of a spiritual undertone to it, you know. So what's the best way to say it? You know, you're calling out to... You know, basically it's a song calling out to God to say, bring me back to life, you know. I'm ready to let myself, release myself to love, you know. I'm ready for your love. I'm ready to grow as a person and make the changes I need to make to evolve into the next part of my life. I guess that would be the best way to say it.
Wow, that's deep, but that makes a great song.
Yeah, everyone likes that song. That's heard it. So musically, it's a really interesting song, you know, because you write the song and you go, this is a good song, and I feel it really deeply, and then but then you still have to come up with an interesting arrangement, so it's just it catches you. And it's just, that's one of the things I like about recording. It's like you just get inspired and you do things, sometimes the random things. Sometimes things end up in songs that were mistakes, but it was a really good mistake. And in this case, it's just the moment that I had the inspiration I had when I was going to do the song, just it worked. You know, you did something and you left the space at the beginning of the song and you decided on some sound I had. And then I just kind of like, it just kind of went one foot after the other. And then all of a sudden I go, wow, this is really good. Or at least to me, it sounded really good. It sounded kind of unique. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Well, even though, you know, the song is about your personal journey, it makes it relatable to other people that are going through maybe something similar.
Well, yeah, I hope so. I do try to write in a way. The songs are mostly personal. I mean, I also draw from people around me. Like, I'm always paying attention to the people that are around me and what's going on in their life. And then if it's an interesting story, I take that story and I start to find things in my past that can relate to that, so I can make that emotion mine and that story mine, but I'm writing off someone else. But I also try to, like, look at the song from the point of view, too. Can anyone get anything out of this song? Can they relate to it? So that's another mm-hmm. criteria I use sometimes when I'm going to record a song. Will anyone care? You know what I mean? Like, sure, this means a lot to me. Well, does it sound, you know, does it, like, catch people's attention? Is the song about something that other people can relate to? So I hope so. You know, that's what music has done for me.
Well, I definitely think you did it, especially with this song. And, I mean, you when somebody like me sits down to listen to music, it all depends on the mood. And sometimes I listen to music because I just want to dance in my seat while I'm working or something, or I want to think of something back from my childhood, so I'll listen to older music, or I want to think of my mom who's passed, and I'll play some of the music that she loved. Or I'm in a bad mood and I want to get in a good mood, or I feel like crying but I can't cry, so I'll listen to a sad song and then get it all out. So music does a lot of things for a lot of people, and I thank God for people like you that can do that for us.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. You're very welcome. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Jupiter. I wish you all the very best, and please keep in touch. And if you make it to Chicago on tour, please let me know so I can come and see you in person.
Oh, absolutely. You'll be the first person I contact about that. And just let people know they can get more on my music and info at my website at www.swishturners.com. So
I definitely will, and also follow Jupiter on Twitter at JupiterIsVelvet. Did they have somebody already take Jupiter in Velvet on there that you put is?
No, when I started Twitter, I was just so aggressive and overdoing it that they kept, like, thinking I was using, you know, I think it's bot or something.
Damn it.
And they kept suspending Jupiter and Velvet because Jupiter and Velvet was just too ambitious. So then I had it finally got to the point that I just had to start a new website. So so Jupiter Velvet is still in jail on Twitter.
I had that happen to me too when I started out my show, so I know exactly what you mean.
Jupiter Velvet on Twitter was a bad boy in their eyes, and it didn't matter what I did after a while that I was like, no, 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 you go back to the corner, Jupiter and Velvet.
Yeah.
So then I just started over with Jupiter and Velvet, and I figured out what I needed to do so they would stop reprimanding me for being
an ambitious artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you go back to them, when they put you in timeout like that, and you go back to them and they, you know, you say, listen, I'm, you know, a musician, I'm just trying to get my music out there, and they'll come back and say, these are our rules, you have to follow them, and then they let you out of jail, and then you do it again, and then you do it less, thinking that it's not as much as before, but then they put you back in there again. So
yeah.
I can understand
now starting a whole new one. Now they're looking for you to do, like, oh,
yeah.
you know, you added five new friends, you know, oh, he's doing it again, you know. So, it was bad, but no big deal.
Yeah, you're out there, and that's all that matters. Also, for our listeners, like his Facebook page for Jupiter in Velvet, and pick up his new album, Glitter on the Sun, September 23rd, and I'm so looking forward to that video, too.
Yes, I'm really excited. I'm working with a very talented up-and-coming director in the UK called Simon. His name's Simon Riley. He's very good. He's very good. And so I can't wait to do this. He's got some great ideas. You know, so we'll see. Hopefully it turns out as brilliant as it sounds. So, and that'll video come out, you know, probably about the same time as, right at the same time we're releasing the album on September 23rd.
Awesome. Well, be sure to tweet it to me because I have an indie video channel on my website.
Oh, good.
I will definitely add it to that as well as tweet it out and put it on Facebook and that.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and you enjoy the rest of your day and your time here in the U.S., and have a safe flight back when you go to the U.K. And say hi to my UK friends out there.
You bet. I'll do that, okay? Thanks so much for having
me. Take care. Thank you. Take care. Okay, for our listeners, here is a brand new unreleased single called Bring Me Back to Life by Jupiter in Velvet. that's the brand new song, Bring Me Back to Life by Jupiter and Velvet, soon to be released. I'm going to play another song that is his recent release, and it's called She's So Sugar. Sugar by Jupiter and Velvet. And if you love what you heard, be sure to pick up his music. You won't be sorry. And of course, you'll get some nice surprises in there. As he said, he likes to change up his music and his album. So I think that you'll be very intrigued just by saying that to go and check it out. I want to thank my guest Jupiter for joining me today, as well as my listeners. And I will see you again on Monday. I believe that's the 18th for our Music Monday show, where we play an hour or so of indie music from around the world. And with that, I'm going to say enjoy the rest of your day. Have a wonderful weekend. It's coming soon for those of you working. I know you couldn't be happier about that. So take care, everybody, and God bless each and every one of you.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.